Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. Too bad the Blues didn't get a win there, but boy, oh boy. They've been playing so well lately. I figure they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. I had a mystery solved today. I'm looking forward to sharing the solved mystery with you. I also want to talk about something I saw on Facebook. There was a Better Together ad that popped up. And as you heard on the news there with Alex Degman, I'm wondering if this Better Together is going to turn into what we're seeing with Prop P. Just a lot of... We're going to sleight of hand stuff when it comes to the public. So I'm going to play that ad for you, and we'll talk about Better Together in a little bit. Also, the college admission scandal. Oh, man. Well, that one came out of left field, didn't it? All right, so there was a mystery that was solved today. I got to tell you this. And last week, we were talking about Jim White, and I talk about him a lot on this show. Producer Mike, you'll like this story. I went to the Concord Grill with Clint Hosse. We had a burger there. I had the Jim White burger, enjoyed it. It was very good, apparently still very popular. Concord Grill was one of the talent endorsements that Jim White used for I don't know how many years. So it was nice to see it. They still have a picture of him on the wall. There's a plaque in memory of him on the wall as well, which I took a photo of, and you can see it online if you follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Recker. You can actually hear the full story from last week if you want to go download it in a podcast form, kmox.com/overnight. So I play an audio bit that was popular, and it was on a reel-to-reel, which is like a cassette tape that radio stations used here. And when I was going through some of the Jim White audio that was saved on this, there was a phone call from a listener that talked about how she went over to a friend's house, a dinner party, and then she thought she was poisoned. And when I played this call, someone later followed up and said, that call sounds familiar. It's in a plot line for a movie. I wanted to find out if the writer was inspired by listening to Jim White. So I found out the answer to that today. So let me back up. Let me first play for you a portion of this phone call. And I'm not going to exactly tell you when this phone call aired. I have an idea of when it aired. But this is from Jim White's program many, many years ago. It was saved on a reel which had some highlights of his radio program on there. And this kind of spurred a lot of imaginations. Uh-oh.
Last Saturday night, I went to a party. And this woman, after midnight, it was like a midnight brunch. And this woman served shrimp. The next morning at 7, I get a phone call. And she says, you'd better get to the hospital and have your stomach pumped.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh.
So I said, what are you talking about? And she said, I have a confession to make to you. And I said, well, go right ahead. And she said, last night, my icebox, something like this, my icebox was so full that I couldn't get the big bowl of shrimp in there. And she told me that she put this bowl of shrimp on her back porch to keep it cool out there.
Mm-hmm.
So help me, this is a true story. When she went out there to get the shrimp, she saw her cat fooling around in this bowl, and he had eaten just a little bit of it. She wanted, anyway, she brought it in, and she served it to us anyway, because that was like the main dish or whatever. The next morning, she's going out, I guess, to get her paper or something. She finds her cat dead on her doorstep. So right away, she thinks, well, it must have been the shrimp. She thought maybe it being on the back porch, not being cold enough, or just plain bad shrimp. So she calls and she says, to play it safe, you better get your stomach pumped.
Okay, so that is the original call that I found. I aired it. I thought it was funny. And when I originally aired it, it wasn't last week, but long before that, I was a little skeptical because listening to it, I thought, that sounds a little staged. I know there's radio stations that do stage phone calls, so it would be weird for me to find out if that was something orchestrated by Jim White and this person, a woman perhaps as an actress, wanted to call in and give this story. So I play the call. It's funny. You know, people are listening to it. And if you want to know how the call ends, you can go back and listen to the full bit on the podcast at KMOX.com/overnight. But she says she gets her stomach pumped. She insists it happened. Later gets a call from the neighbor that says, well, actually, one of my neighbors confessed he hit the cat with the car and put the cat in the backyard, you know, didn't want to leave it in the street, called to tell me and confessed that I did that. So there's no harm. The cat didn't die by eating the bad shrimp. So you're safe. And the woman was asking Jim White, should I ask for the person to pay for the stomach pumping? It was very expensive. I think they should pay for it, for putting all the hysterics in there for it. So I play the bit and we play the call. In the next segment, I get a call from Lou. And let me just play part of that call from Lou. Lou's calling in from Baldwin, and you're calling in about that story from Jim White. Is that right, Lou?
Yeah, that's correct.
Right. So what did what'd you think of it?
I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg. That story, that entire plot is from an early Tom Selleck movie called Her Alibi.
Really? What happens in the movie?
He's a writer. He falls for some young lady who's escaping the KGB or some group like that. And he falls for her. They end up, he ends up cooking a meal for he and his friends.
Yeah.
And he goes in the kitchen, and she had given this goulash or stew or the meal she cooked to the cat. And there's a bowl of her stuff on the floor, and the cat's laying dead on the floor. And everybody, you know, he runs in, tells everybody that he thinks she's a murderer, and they're all going to die. So they all rush to the hospital, get their stomach pumped.
Oh, no.
They all come back. A neighbor shows up. The neighbor says, hey, did you find the cat? I'm sorry. I don't remember the exact words. You know, I was backing out, or I ran over your cat.
Wow.
I laid it on the floor in the kitchen.
Oh, no. So that was all from that movie?
That's in the movie, yeah. The movie's called Her Alibi.
All right, so I looked up the clip from the movie Her Alibi, and it was released in 1989. Now, keep in mind, Jim White was with the radio station from 69 to 99, so it's within that period there. Perhaps did that caller watch the movie and then later call in to Jim White? So I did a little bit of digging, and I found, based on the notes that was stored inside of that tape, that the call was from 1970, 19 years before Her Alibi was released, 19 years before. I start to wonder, perhaps, did the writer of Her Alibi listen to Jim White? Was he inspired, perhaps, by some callers here in St. Louis, and perhaps remembered that story and wrote it into his movie? So here's a clip from Her Alibi, if you want to know how similar these two are.
She poisoned us.
I can tell you that.
No, really. I'm serious. The casserole.
The cat.
The cat.
So they see the cat's dead. He comes and yells and tells everyone inside of the dining room who's eating there.
It's true. Oh, how could you fall in love with a murderer?
It's not easy to meet girls now.
There's got to be an antidote.
Easier if you just shot them when they arrive.
Here's the antidote for liquid drain opener. Try it.
Oh, you try.
We
got
to get this stuff analyzed.
Come on, that's not good enough. They'll pump our stomachs in the hospital.
Oh, no.
All right, so he goes, okay. You hear the similarities between the two. Cat dies. They all freak out. They all drive to the hospital, get the stomach pumped. They come back from the hospital. The neighbor comes over and says, I accidentally killed your cat. I put your cat back inside the back door. I'm sorry. And all of them just went through all of this. And then he realizes that he had just accused this woman of trying to murder the half a dozen people that were there for that dinner date. Okay. So I talked to the writer of her alibi. I was able to track him down. I called a phone number, didn't know if it was going to be him or not. And I'm going to actually make contact with him. I'm going to tell you his answer coming up after the break. A mystery is about to be solved here on KMOX. This is actually really cool. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News at the top and bottom of the hour. Mornings and afternoons. KMOX.
Overnight America. So we solved the mystery today. I think we did, at least. So right before the break, I was telling you of how this rolled out. Caller into Jim White's radio program, 1970, brings up a dinner party late at night where they ate the shrimp. Cat got into the shrimp, but the owner, the ones that invited everyone over, didn't tell them that the cat accidentally got into the shrimp, didn't want to, you know, because they left it on the back porch, didn't have room inside of the fridge or the freezer chest. So the cat dies. She thinks the food has been poisoned or gone bad. Tells all the guests, you better go get your stomach pumped. And that was the gist of the story. So we play that. A listener by the name of Lou calls in and says, that's actually a plot line in a movie called Her Alibi. It was from 1989, starring Tom Selleck, written by a man, Charlie Peters is his name. So I look up Her Alibi, Tom Selleck, released in 1989. And I start to try to figure out how in the world am I going to be able to talk to Charlie Peters to figure out if, on the off chance, he may have listened to Jim White over the years, remembered that, saved it, and then put it into the film when he wrote the movie Her Alibi, which, if you were to go to IMDb, is not rated too high. It's actually rated pretty terrible, 5.7 stars out of 10. The rating from the actual viewers of the movie, much lower than that. Not a great movie at all. So I look up, and Charlie Peters really didn't write much after that. He did a couple of things in, like, 92. He did a movie, 94. I don't recognize any of these things he's done. The last thing that Charlie Peters wrote was a screenplay called Five Flights Up. And there were some pretty big names in that one. Diane Keaton, Morgan Freeman's in that. And I look at it and I see that the writers, there's two credited writers. One's Charlie Peters. The other one is Jill Cement, who wrote the book. And he was the screenplay writer on that book. So I find the contact information for Jill Cement. And I message Jill and say, I'm trying to track down Charlie Peters. When I go online to his credits, I see you were the last person that may have worked with him professionally that way. Do you have any contact info for him? So she writes me back and gives me an email. So I write Charlie Peters. It bounces back, meaning the email's no longer active. And I say, Jill, I'm sorry to bother you again, but that email came back. It didn't work. By any chance, maybe was there another email you might have used? Or maybe that one was an older one. There was something more recent. She said, okay, try this other one. So I email the new one, bounces back, doesn't work. So I thought, dead end. So I thank Jill and say, hey, thank you so much for your help. But, you know, I'm still going to have to find another way to reach him. I'm very curious at this point. I'm really hoping there's a great KMOX story in this where I'll be able to come on the radio and tell you that Charlie Peters was a big listener of Jim White because of his massive signal. He was living in New York or doing whatever at the time and would listen to KMOX. I would have wanted to tell that story. I message Chris Myhill, who's the producer for Charlie Brennan. And I say, Chris, it's kind of weird. When you're trying to track someone down, let me give you a name of someone. And I'm looking for a screenwriter by the name of Charlie Peters. And I sent a link to his IMDb page and said, is there any way you have anyone that might be able to tell me a way to reach him? The next day I get an email from Chris that says, here's a number associated with him. I don't know if it's active. You can give it a try. So today, my son is at preschool. My wife is actually out doing a little bit of shopping. I have the house to myself, and I thought this is the perfect opportunity. Let me call up Charlie Peters and see if this number works. So I pull out my phone, dial the number. It rings, goes to answering machine. And it says, please leave your name after the message and I'll give you a call back. And, you know, the typical script goes beep. I say, hi, my name's Ryan Recker. I'm with KMOX Radio. I've been going through some of the archives and I found a clip that is actually very similar to something you wrote into a movie. And I wanted to know if it was a coincidence or perhaps maybe you have some ties to KMOX. I'm just trying to solve this mystery to see if there's any connection between the two. And I was hoping I could ask you about one of the movies you wrote. And I hear the... And he goes, hello, hello. He was screening his calls. He was listening. And I said, Charlie, is this Charlie Peters, the screenwriter? He goes, yes, this is Charlie. So I said, Charlie, I've been trying to find you and I'm so glad. I have a question about one of your movies. And I give him the whole rundown. I said, back in 1970, Jim White, radio show host, he had a caller. It was very similar to Her Alibi. I wanted to talk to you about when you were writing Her Alibi, how you came up with some of the inspirations for the stories in there. And he said, that's a long time ago. We're talking 30 years ago, 1989, this thing comes out. 30 years ago. He says, I really don't remember how I came up with all of these things. And I said, do you know KMOX? Does that sound familiar? Have you ever heard the name Jim White? And he said, no, I can tell you I didn't get anything off the radio. Doesn't sound familiar at all. And I said, the scene that I'm looking at during that is the dinner scene where they all think they were poisoned because the cat died. And he said, oh, that scene. He said, that's an old wives' tale. That's been written about. And he said, writers always see this story pop up. It's a very common thing that are in these old books that writers use for inspiration. It's just one of those stories that have been around a million years. And I just rehashed it and put it into this movie. He said, I knew the director. He was going through some hard times. He asked me to write this screenplay. And like, oh, you know, I did it as a favor. It wasn't a good movie. It was actually a terrible movie. And, you know, I just put it together and I just had to do it real quick. So I used that as part of the storyline. And I talked to him a little bit longer. He seems like he was doing all right for himself. Maybe one day I'll meet him in person. I don't know. He doesn't really work that much as of late. I don't see a lot of credits on the IMDb, but you never know. His name might pop up and I may be able to see him sometime in the future. That'd be cool. But, you know, we only talked for about 5 or 10 minutes, whatever it was. Hung up the phone and found out that he is not a listener of KMOX. I love that Lou was able to put the two together. That call with that scene from Her Alibi. Talking to the writer, I totally believe him because I go online and I decide, well, you know what? I wonder what books this story is located in. And I find a couple of different stories where people talk about how there's different types of foods and variations of this story. The pet is either a cat or a dog in some stories. Sometimes it's baked salmon. Sometimes it's wild mushrooms. Sometimes it's sandwiches. But either way, they can go back. There's examples as early as the 1930s in literature. There's examples of the 1940s where these are written into certain books. And it's multiple times this is put into there. And it was actually, of course, Her Alibi was written in 1989. There's another movie in 1994 called Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, apparently was cited in that one, too. I don't know that movie. I think that one might have been a bird. But there's a lot of cases where this idea is brought up and it's not unique and it's not something that at least originated here on KMOX, unfortunately. I was so hoping that was the case. I'm like, oh man, we're going to solve a great KMOX mystery. 30 plus years in the making. But you know, they all can't be golden stories, I guess. But it's still kind of cool. I'm glad that I was able to close that case. It was a cold case for, you know, 1970. So you're talking about 49 years ago, the call? 49 years ago? Finally solve a cold case. Wow. All right. Well, that'll put a tap on that one in KMOX history. There's still a lot of other mysteries to solve here at KMOX. Don't worry. This isn't the only mystery left. We got a lot to go. I wanted to talk about the ad I found on Facebook, the Better Together ad. If you haven't seen this pop up, you're probably going to if you're on Facebook. If you live in the St. Louis region, I'm sure they're geo-targeting this region because they're really pushing the Better Together. I'm going to play you the ad. I'm going to talk about the ad. We're going to talk about Better Together. Are you feeling any better about it? I don't mean that to be a pun, but are you? We'll get to some of your calls, too. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Making the darkness of night a little brighter. It's Ryan Recker and Overnight America on KMOX.
you making fun of me, Producer Mike? So Producer Mike's over there in the producer booth.
What did I do?
Yeah, you say you just wasted a half hour on a story that went nowhere.
Oh, I was being sarcastic. I said you wasted a half hour with a fake made-up story, but you didn't make it up. That was true.
Tina, I would rather hear more of Tina's of the world. Says, wow, interesting story. Thanks for sharing that, Ryan. She texts that in. Why can't you be so positive like Tina?
Well, I gotta, you know, I can't just pump your tires. I gotta keep your nose to the grindstone here in order to really get the best out of you.
Hey, what are we doing for our bet? Have we figured that out yet?
We have not.
We need to figure out what we're gonna do. There's gonna be something good there. I just don't know what it is yet. I mean, I think the best option we've had so far next week when the Wings and the Blues play. Is that I'll be rooting for the Wings, you'll be rooting for the Blues. I'll be wearing my Wings jersey. You have a Blues jersey you're wearing, or are you doing something else? I don't know. Not that I care what you're wearing.
I have multiple jerseys. I don't know what I'm wearing. I don't know what I'm wearing to bed tonight.
Yeah. So whatever happens, whoever wins, we have to do something on air. So the loser has to do something on the air. I think the best we've seen or come up with so far is that the loser has to sing or do a rap from one of the winning team's rappers. So, for example, I would have you do an Eminem song on the air, and I would do a Nelly song on the air, depending.
I haven't given my consent to that being a good idea yet.
Yeah, it's a terrible idea. That's why. But you have such better odds of winning. Wings are terrible right now. I think I just saw online they've lost 11 of 12 or something like that.
The way it should be.
Well, when they come in as the underdog on the road, they might have a 10% chance of winning, but you never know. Anything could happen that night. I might be the good luck charm. I may make sure Kevin Kleen stays away from it and doesn't go to the bathroom.
We should take you down to the glass during pregame with a big sign that says, my first game, can I have a puck? Maybe they'll toss you one.
Want me to lie to them? All right, so we'll figure out something we're going to do for the bet.
Can I do one side story just based off that?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I was watching the Avalanche game last night, and I'm not bringing them up because you hate them, but... There was a little boy on the side of the glass during pregame skate who had a sign that said, hey, Eric Johnson, a trade is a trade. Can I have a puck? And he had an arrow pointing to the left of the sign where his sister was. He was trying to trade his little sister for a game puck. They brought him up to the booth and talked to him about it. It was pretty cool.
They brought him to the booth
for
that?
They brought him up to the booth.
Wow. Colorado's not doing so hot either this year. Not doing so bad.
They're in the hunt.
Are they?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well... We'll think of something for the bet. That's Producer Mike. On Facebook, I was scrolling around trying to find things to talk about. And one of those big topics, for example, college admissions and the scandal with the Full House star. We're going to talk about that. Oh, boy, is that crazy. So we actually have some audio from the attorney that talks and runs down the charges of this giant scheme that happened in the college admissions that includes Lori Loughlin. And we're going to talk about that later tonight with Drex, the late shift with Drex. We're going to do another hookup simulcast with our friends up in Canada. We'll do that right after 1 o'clock tonight. So I'm going through Facebook, and I see the Better Together ad pop up. And part of this Better Together ad is them trying to give all of the great positive, all the great things that's going to happen, and all of our wildest dreams will come true. It's like Napoleon Dynamite, isn't it? Remember the movie Napoleon Dynamite? Where Pedro's running for class president, and he says, all your wildest dreams will come true if you vote for me. That's Better Together. The crime will be eliminated in St. Louis if we just do Better Together. It's the wildest. Oh, we're gonna save so much money, we won't have any financial issues ever. No, We'll just trust the people that have put the city in a terrible financial situation that can't seem to get ourselves in a good situation. We'll just trust they'll figure it out after we merge things together because the same people will be working with the same pieces. Oh, they'll just have more to play with that time. Yeah, okay, whatever. So Better Together does this giant ad on Facebook. I don't know how much money they're spending on this. I'm going to guess tens of thousands of dollars because they're trying to target as many people as possible. And if you're in the St. Louis region, they're probably specifically targeting you. They do a thing called geo-targeting where they try to focus the ads on specific areas. So if you're in this region, and who knows, it might even be all across Missouri. I'm not sure. But if you see this ad, you know you're going to be someone that perhaps is going to vote on this. And this is a pretty big issue. that'll come up next year. So here's the ad. Let me play it for you.
We believe that creating a better St. Louis for everyone starts with uniting St. Louis City and St. Louis County. And that uniting the region starts with uniting our voices.
Hi, I'm Maggie.
Hi, my name's Ellie, and I grew up in Webster Groves.
My name is Chisholm Eche.
My name is Luke.
And I've been in the St. Louis community for about 5 years now.
I think the most challenging discussion about bringing the city and the county back together has to do with the nature of structural racism.
Economic development.
Immediately become one of the 10 largest cities in the country.
We can create an opportunity for children and for communities to thrive.
This is a human issue.
I would like my community to be more unified.
We need to be together as a region.
We need to unite the city and county.
I believe St. Louis is better together because of strength in numbers.
It just makes for a greater environment for all.
For me, it's always about the people and people who really love the city and the region and want it to do better.
Yeah. Okay. So that was the ad. Comes out to 54 seconds, so not quite 60 seconds. Could they not have found a better way to record some of those people? Did they find the cheapest microphone, or did they even have a microphone on these people? Like, I'm listening back to this, and could they found a cheesier music bed?
Yeah, it has to do with the nature and structure.
Like, listen to that. Like, it's so what we're going to do is we're going to put the microphone about 30 feet back, and we're going to point it in your general direction. We'll just hope that it picks up whatever. That drives me nuts as someone in radio that has to work with audio and recording voices in general.
The county back together has
and the music bed, the selection of that. Come on now. So you hear these ads. It's not swaying me at all. But you know that they have to put these campaigns together, and you know that they're trying to do as much as they can to sway the public opinion because they want to be able to push this through. And it's more than just the people that are going to be affected. It's the entire state that's going to vote on this. You know, the funny thing is they say structural racism. So, of course, they take the race card and immediately play that up front. They didn't even wait to use that as their trump card. You know, if you're playing euchre or whatever, that's not even the wild card for them. They immediately put that right up. And the funny thing is the representatives here in St. Louis that oppose the Better Together are saying that it's because of racism that you should oppose Better Together. They come out and they say, you know what happens if this proposal goes through? You're wiping out any leader of color. You're just gone. You're basically saying we're going to put all of these people in power and it's going to eliminate the voice of minorities. Over with. So it's funny that this Better Together ad comes together and they try to play structural racism and they use that as their lead argument. And some of the people that have been working in the city that are actually trying to work on this or whatever or have these arguments or these gripes about it are the ones that are saying, no, it's the opposite. In fact, you should oppose Better Together because of this. They're also the same group, I think, that's trying to recall Mayor Lyda Cruz. And so let me get some of your thoughts on this. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We might actually have better audio quality with this phone line here with Mark calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Ryan, I was just telling the producer, that's not going to work. Like you just stated, I mean, that's the funniest commercial I ever heard. They couldn't even get decent microphones to put an ad out. So what makes you think they're going to be able to bring the city and the county together as one?
They really went all out on that one, yeah. So what's this whole merger thing, where do you stand on it?
Well, it sounds like a good idea, but it's something that they're going to have to just, I mean, did they just come up with this merger thing, or had this been something in the planning for years? Because you just can't do something like this, you know, as large as the city is, as large as the county is. You know, this takes years and years of planning. And I think it's something else behind getting the city and the county together. And the racism thing is not their main objective. I think it's something else.
What do you think the main objective is then?
Revenue. I'm thinking it's money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking the main objective is money. They're trying to, bring probably more revenue to the city of St. Louis. But then that's where the problem is going to lie. Because once they become one, okay, how is the money going to be distributed? You know, because are they going to rebuild the city? and make it look just as nice as the county, or what?
I think that's one of the biggest problems, because the way that they set this up and they put this plan together, and basically they say we're gonna put the ideas together, but when it comes to implementation, you know, after it's voted in, it's out of our hands. So the Better Together groups, right, are that's basically what they're saying. So I wanted to tie this into Proposition P. Have you seen what's been going on with that and some of the issues they're having with spending the $80 million? So, you know, back in a couple of years ago, there was the ballot initiative Proposition B. The idea was, let's try to get some more money for hire more police officers, because we need more police officers, right? So they raised $80 million, and now they're putting these proposals together to say, you know what, public safety is a little bit wider than police, so we want to spend the money elsewhere. So a lot of people are upset. They're saying, you know, you told us this is going to go for police because we're in desperate need, and you got all the police involved because they need the pay raises, but instead now you're telling me you want to spend it on highways and you want to spend it on park rangers and stuff. Like, what are you talking about? So this is so ridiculous. So, Mark, who's to say we do this whole merger thing and they're not going to pull this again? Who's going to say they're going to spend the money where it's supposed to go? And who's going to say they're going to even organize it the way they're going to organize it? Because after Better Together and this thing goes through, their hands are up. They're like, we're done. You know, we're going to put the same politicians in charge that are messing up Proposition P with this giant city merger, and the ones that can't be fiscally responsible for our money to begin with.
Exactly. I mean, you know, like you just said, they just lied to us about, you know, the $80 million. So once they merge and then all this money starts coming in, then what are they going to do? I mean, we need more than $80 million to work on highways. There's a lot of other things that we need to take care of in the city and the county before we start dealing with highways.
Got it. Absolutely.
I'm not for it. So.
All right. Good to hear from you, Mark. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.
So what do you think of that ad, Better Together? I don't know how long that's been running. That was the first time I saw it pop up on Facebook. I think it said there was about 13,000 views on it. 13,000, or maybe, something like that. So it's been viewed a lot. I mean, anything over 10,000, that's a ton of views. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. That's the phone number here. You can even text in on that first line. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Keeping you up and making you think. This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
You know who was over at the Peabody Theater, the Stiefel Theater, excuse me? I think that's what it's renamed. Yeah, right there attached to Enterprise Center. So you have John Mellencamp playing. On the other side is the Blues. Two big events back to back. I was doing a little searching on social media, and apparently a lot of people said he was great. John Mellencamp put on a good show. Right before the show, Mark Reardon popped in, and he was heading over to go see John Mellencamp at that time. So hopefully he enjoyed it as well. Well, you know, I was really hoping to see more people talking about it on social media. There wasn't a lot of chatter, but the ones that were talking about the show said they enjoyed it. I wonder if it was sold out. You would think John Mellencamp can still sell out, right? You would hope so. Or not. I don't know. So going back to this Better Together thing. Oh my. So you get this ad that goes on Facebook. They're not shying away from how much money they're spending on this thing. There's got to be a ton of cash that goes into it. And maybe I'll play this a little bit later in the show, but Fox 2 did the whole, you know, you paid for it yesterday on Prop P, and you heard Alex Degman actually doing a story on it on the top of the hour news. And I'm sure you're going to hear it more through the overnight hours. I see this as very similar to Prop P. This is what I'm afraid is going to happen. I'm afraid that you're going to be voting on something that they're going to take in a different direction. And I don't think they can be responsible with your money. Now, what makes you believe they're going to be responsible with your money when you add more of it and a bigger surplus of it? I just don't. And I want to get your thoughts on this. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let me play you the ad, just that part where they're going through all of the reasons why you should support Better Together. This is up on Facebook. I don't know if they're going to run this on any TV or radio stations. I haven't really heard any of it. This is it again.
About bringing the city and the county back together has to do with the nature of structural racism.
Economic development.
Immediately become one of the 10 largest cities in the country.
All right, so structural racism. We're going to undo that. Bringing them back together, okay, you know, from some 100 years ago. What was the other one? Bringing the population. That's not really a great get. I mean, that is more of a vanity thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that this city isn't as large as it is. It just means we're going to bump up the number and pump up the jam it's more of a vanity thing. Where are we going to rank when it's looked at online? I don't think that's going to change anything else.
Immediately become one of the 10 largest cities in the country.
We can create an opportunity for children and for communities.
Create an opportunity for children and communities. Now, I'd like to ask her, so how do you see that happening?
To thrive.
This is a huge...
How do you see that happening? Because schools are off the limits, right? You're still going to have the same school systems. And if anything, if you're in one of the really good school districts, think about how your community spends its money. Is that going to be threatened? Is it the way that they allocate their funds or the way that their funds will go maybe outside of the community? Maybe it won't affect your schools per se, but the things around your schools maybe. What about your library system? What if when it comes to your own policing, let's say you have a community that doesn't have as high crime like the city of St. Louis, and all of a sudden they centralize policing and they say, well, you know, your area is doing pretty good. So instead of having the people in that community watching over your community, we may mix and match or, you know, shuffle the deck a little. It doesn't matter. It's all one and the same, right? So the police officer over here is equal to the police officer over here. The one that's over here exactly knows everything that's going on in your community. I'm sure they know all the streets. I'm sure they know all the people and the businesses. I'm sure they know what goes on in that. You know, I'm sure they know when the local parades are. You know, I'm sure everyone knows everything about everyone else. So we'll just shuffle it around. I'm sure that won't affect your community at all. You know, so there's these things that are brought up, and they'll say these things. They'll give lip service to it. Oh, it'll better for our kids. How is it better for our kids? Is bumping up the list to be in the top 10 better for our kids? How? If, for example, combining the crime stats may bump us down when it comes to the listings that come through on these, you know, wallet hubs or whatever, these email lists or things that they just try to solicit people to talk about them on their websites. If that crime doesn't disappear overnight, then how are you better? What does it matter if the on paper it looks better, but the crime's still the same? What better is it? It's not.
Human issue.
I would like my community to be more unified.
We need to be together as a region.
All right, we need to be unified. We need to be together as a region. So Chris texted this in, and you can text too at 314-436-7900. Says, only city and county residents should vote on this issue. Why should someone from Branson care what we do? Good point. This is back to the punishment t-shirt analogy. I love this pun. Don't give me that look, Producer Mike. He's shaking his head. He hates this analogy. I like it myself. Someone I knew talked about when her kids were young, now grown adults, you know, in their 50s and 60s, you know. Now that they're grown adults, she was talking about how she would discipline her two boys. Whenever they would get into trouble, dad was away at work. She says, oh, you know, wait till dad gets home. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to put on the punishment shirt. Yeah, you two boys, if you can't get along, punishment shirt time. So she runs in the room, gets one of dad's extra large t-shirts, double XLs or whatever it is, and puts it over the two boys and says, you're going to be wearing this shirt together until you get along. I'll come back in an hour. If you guys are still fighting, it's another hour. If you guys can get along, we'll take the shirt off of you as the punishment. That's the punishment shirt is what this analogy to me is you got to get the entire state to vote, and they look at our area and they say, look at this. You can't even get along. You got all these municipalities. We got all these duplicate services. We got all this. We got that. Why can't they just get along? Put the punishment shirt on them. They're going to have to work it out. You get 2 years to work it out before they do the full merge and they figure out the governments. And then, you know, they'll take the punishment shirt off and everything will be fine. There's some conflicts there. What else do they say in that ad?
We need to unite the city and county.
I believe St. Louis is better together because of strength in numbers.
It just makes for a greater environment for all.
Strength in numbers, greater environment for all. You know, it's such a great environment. There's certain cities like Chesterfield that are talking about creating their own county so they don't have to be a part of this. There's a lot of councilmen that are against this too, and individual mayors of cities that are against this as well. And they look at how they have a system that works, and they're going to be forced into a system that doesn't work. Think about it this way, too. Let's say you have a dying patient, and they say, in order to save the dying patient, we need to take the heart of a healthy patient and kill that one in order to save the dying one. And you're thinking, why would you do that? You know, why would you sacrifice and give up a healthy body in order to save the dying body, as opposed to let the dying body die and let the healthy body take over? Why? It doesn't make sense. And I get that our government's screwed up. I get that you would never structure the government if you were to originate it from the very beginning, but this is not a good plan. I mean, this is not a perfect plan by any means. I think Better Together is trying to push it as this is a good plan. I think it could be a much better plan. And I think that maybe they'll be met with more opposition than they originally planned on, because I think a lot of other people feel the same way and they're saving graces. Well, what if the rest of the state, who's not really caring about what the people of St. Louis have to say, what if they are the ones that are going to force this through? I could imagine there's going to be some lawsuits after, even if this thing goes through. I can see local people here trying to say this is, you know, not lawful in the way, and not, it goes against the charter with the freeholders. And I, you know, I don't think it's going to be the very end. I think that's going to be met with oppositions to begin with, but we'll see. It's going to be a crazy time here in the city of St. Louis coming up here in next year. Even if you made it to one of these town hall meetings, I would love to go to one of these town halls. They have another one coming up here pretty soon. I just don't remember what the date is. But this is what they do. They do this whole deal where you have to go online and register that you're going to show up. And then they say, okay, town hall's full. No one else can show up. And then if there's people that don't show up and they pre-registered, they don't just like refill. You can't just like get an overflow ticket. This is what Michael Calhoun was telling me the other day. So it makes it more difficult to get a full packed house for this sort of thing if you don't show up. So, or perhaps let's just say there's people out there purposely trying to block this because they don't like people coming in and giving opposition to the plan. So they, you know, pre-register the seats, they stack the deck, and then they don't show up or whatever. So there's less people that can give opposition to it. I mean, that sounds more conspiratorial by any means, but I would like to see, I really would like to see more people critically looking at this as opposed to just most people giving their gut feelings of, oh, it would be great if we were top 10 and let's bump ourselves up the numbers and the power rankings. You know, it's kind of funny in sports when you talk about these power rankings, sometimes a team can make it up pretty high, but you realize they're going to get bumped in the first round, right? You know, their stats are a little inflated when experts come back and look at it. I feel like we're in one of those scenarios. All right, so coming up in the next hour, Kevin L. Jackson's going to join us. I want to talk about tech security with him. It's kind of a fascinating look. He also talks a little bit about net neutrality, but not a lot. And I wanted to play a couple of other things for you. This whole college admission scandal with the Full House star and Lori Loughlin. Oh, my. Where did that come from? And, you know, right now, Netflix is still running ads with Lori Loughlin on it. Did you know that? You may want to pull those back a little bit or put those on hold. Follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download it online at KMOX.com/overnight.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!